related to, if an individual has major sins before Islam and fell into that which is displeasing to Allah, then he comes into Islam, but he has done so much before Islam that he still finds that he's affected by it, and this possibly leads the individual to falling into sin easily and the likes. Now, how does a person remove that? Several things can be said in response to that question. And for one, the individual has to make sincere dua to Allah that Allah Azza wa Jal removes that love and like of sin from within him. Allah Ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Who is the one who would answer the caller and remove the harm? So that is Allah. Who is the one who will answer the caller and remove the harm? And that is Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal answers the caller and he removes the harm. So it's important that that individual, and Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ عُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord says, call on me and I will answer you. So this is one thing that's important, that the believer has to make sincere dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah removes it. And before I continue with my advice to the questioner and anyone else that has that situation, his question reminds me of the book that was written by Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, called Adda'u wa Dawa, and it's also called Al-Jawab al-Kafi. That book was written by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, and it's all about sins and the ill effects of sins and the burden of sins and the end result of sinning. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala tells you in the introduction to that book, he says, I was approached by a brother, and the brother said to me that I have a sin that I've been committing and I'm trying to repent from, and I fear that if I don't repent from this sin and I don't remove this sin from my life, that it would destroy me in this life and the next. So Ibn Qayyim said, so he mentioned that statement, but he didn't tell him what the sin was. Because at times, and this is recommended, that a believer doesn't inform of his sins. That a believer doesn't inform of his sins. Unless the individual needs specific, detailed advice. So the man that approached Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala didn't inform of the detail of the sin. But he just informed of the level, that if I don't remove this sin from my life, it's going to destroy me in this life and the next. So Ibn Qayyim said, so I wrote a book about the ins and outs of sins. So he sat down, rahimahullah ta'ala, and wrote a book about sins. So that reminded me, when the brother had that question, that reminded me of that, you know, the reason why Ibn Qayyim wrote that book, rahimahullah ta'ala. And there are portions of that book which are present in English. The Disease and the Cure. The Disease and the Cure. And that leads me to continue. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions the fact that Allah, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ما أنزل الله داء إلا وأنزل له الشفاء علمه من علمه وجهله من جهله. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah has not sent a disease except that he has sent a cure. Whoever knows the cure knows the cure, and whoever is ignorant of the cure is ignorant of the cure. So the reality is, there's nothing that of sin. There's nothing of sin except that there is a cure for it. Except there is a cure for it. So walillahi alhamd, the believer should have good thoughts of his Lord. The believer should have good thoughts of his Lord, and he should know with certainty, he or she must know with certainty, that Allah Azza wa Jal can remove whatever is afflicting you and harming you in your life of sin. So, for one, the individual has good thoughts of his Lord. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jal said, "Ana inda abdi, ana inda dhanni abdi." Be. The Prophet said that Allah azza wa jal said, "I am as my servant thinks of me. I am as if my servant, you know, I am as my servant thinks of me." So if my servant has good thoughts about me, I'm going to, you know, meet his expectations and even more. So the reality, we have good thoughts about our Lord tabarak ta'ala, and we have firm belief that Allah azza wa jal can remove this from us. Then the individual supplicates to Allah. He supplicates to Allah. And in that same book, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala talks about supplication and the importance of supplication and how an individual should call on Allah using his names and using his attributes. And likewise, the individual should choose the best timing to call on Allah azza wa jal, such as between the adhan and the iqamah, such as the last part of the night. The hadith of Abu Huraira, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Yanzilu rabbukum kulla layla hayna yabqa thuluth al-layl al-akhir." Aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Your Lord descends to the sky when there remains the last portion of the night." And Allah tabarak ta'ala says, "Hal min sa'ilin a'tiya?" Is there anyone asking so I can give it to him? Is there anyone calling on me so I can fulfill his call? Is there anyone seeking from me so that I may fulfill that which he is seeking? So Allah Azza wa Jal descends every night so that you, whoever's calling on him, whoever's seeking from him, Allah tabarak ta'ala wants to answer your call. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala goes through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talking about the specific times that supplication is more answered. The traveler, when it's raining, when a person is sick and the likes of that, he goes through. So that's important, that a person not only supplicates to Allah, but that the person also chooses the best time to supplicate to Allah, and they're very diligent in doing so. Also keeping in mind that Allah is going to answer the call. You know, Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to answer the call. A third thing that the individual must understand is that he has to be patient. He has to be patient. The reason why we say that, and this is a reality that we all have to reflect over, it's possible, and we ask Allah tabarak ta'ala to cure all of us and to forgive our sins. You have those from amongst us that have been committing sins for years. And we're talking about after Islam. Talking about after Islam, you have an individual method. And just this is just an example. You might have an individual who has been dating. Wa na'udhu billah. He's been dating. And he's been dating for a year, 2 years, 3 years, in and out. Relationships that are impermissible. That which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So he's been dating for 3, 4, 5 years. And then he says, "I'm going to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal." He says, "I'm going to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal." And then, مثلاً, he loses his job. This is just an example. He loses his job. He's been dating for 5 years. He repents to Allah. He loses his job. When he loses his job, he's sad. He supplicates to Allah Azza wa Jal. "Oh Allah, give me a new job. Oh Allah, give me a new job." A month, two goes by. He doesn't get a new job. He stops supplicating to Allah. He stopped supplicating. He said, "Subhanallah, I repented from fornication and adultery. I repented from it. And now I'm supplicating to Allah." Even if he doesn't say it with his tongue, he says it with his actions. He feels it with inside. "I've repented from a sin. Now I'm supplicating to Allah. I'm not being answered. La ilaha illallah. Allah was patient with you having your impermissible relationships for 5 years. And now you can't be patient with your Lord for a month or two." So the reality is we have to be patient when supplicating to Allah Azza wa Jal. And we have to think, وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. You have not given Allah His right. You have not given Allah His right for you to say, "I've been supplicating and Allah hasn't answered my supplication." While you were fornicating and committing adultery, Allah was giving you oxygen. Allah was giving you food. Allah was giving you intellect. Allah was still providing for you. So Allah was being merciful to you while you were being disobedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. So reality is the individual has to be patient when he's supplicating to Allah. So that's another thing. A third thing or a fourth thing is that the individual has to try to be around good companions. He has to try to be around good companions. And we know the example of the individual who killed 99 and then he killed 100 people. And this individual wanted to repent. But what was a key element to his repentance is he had to remove himself from that environment. And every time the longer he stayed in the environment, the more he committed. It was 99 and then he committed, the 100th. And, so he had to get out of that environment. And the individual that spoke to him last said, you can repent. There's nothing that was going to come to you between you and repentance, but you have to leave this place. So the reality is an individual, if he wants to try to rectify that which is within of sin and the love of the sin, it's possible that that individual has to remove himself far away from the sin. He has to remove himself far away from the sin. And this, for one, it would make the sin foreign and more foreign to him. And for two, it would show Allah that the individual is sincere. It would show Allah that the individual is sincere. And unfortunately, you have those from amongst us that we say we repent upon our tongues, but we keep the DVDs, we keep the music, we keep the, we keep whatever around our environment that doesn't show Allah our sincerity. Allah Ta'ala says, in ya'lam Allahu fi qulubikum khayran. If Allah knows in your heart that you are good, Allah will give you that which is better. If Allah knows in your heart that you are good, Allah will give you that which is better. Allah knows everything. So when an individual, you might be able to fool yourself by saying, I'm repenting, and you just putting your sins on pause. Like, unfortunately, some of us, we put our sins on pause in the month of Ramadan. We put our sins on pause. But Allah knows that you haven't gotten rid of the sin. Allah knows that deep in your chest, you're going to go back to it. But when an individual removes himself from the environment, yani, this shows sincerity to Allah. We know the example of Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam. We know the example of Yusuf. Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the Quran, Yusuf was approached by a female who had wealth. And she approached him in a manner that was very easy for him to commit a sin and get away with it. Commit a sin and get away with it. He ran from her, and her husband caught them at the door, and we know the story. Then later on, the females who were present in the city, they began to speak bad about the king's wife. They began to speak bad. They said she's trying to seduce. She's trying to seduce her young boy. She's trying to seduce him. So she wanted to prove to the women that if you saw what I saw, you would also do the same thing. So she made a gathering of women. And she gave them fruits and she gave them knives. And because Yusuf was being raised by the king and his family, she ordered Yusuf, go into that courtyard, go into that area. Yusuf passed by. The women looked at him and they said, SubhanAllah, this cannot be a man. This is only an angel. And they cut their hands. After that, if you read the tafsir, after that, not only was it the king's wife that wanted to seduce Yusuf, but all of the women of the village wanted to seduce Yusuf. All of them wanted to seduce him. When Yusuf realized that all of the women were after him, he said, Rabbi as-sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. When he realized that all of the women were after him, he said, oh my Lord, jail is more preferred to me than that which they are calling me to. Jail, I want to... If it takes that I need to be in jail, put me in jail. But I do not want to fall into anything with these women. So that's the way of the believer. The way of the believer, if you have to take yourself out of an environment that makes it easy for you to fall into sin, then you got to do it for Allah Azza wa Jal. You got to do it for Allah Azza wa Jal. So we have that example in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And constant remembrance of Allah. Another thing that would help an individual is constant remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. You constantly remember Allah. An individual came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, it's difficult for me." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yazalu lisanuka ratban bi dhikrillah." Your tongue should remain wet in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is something that would also help an individual with regards to removing that love of sin. Another thing that would help the individual is constant recitation of the Quran. If you constantly read the Quran, keep the Quran with you, read it. As the Salaf used to say, "Adimu nadhra fil Quran." The Salaf used to say, read the Quran, always read the Quran, because the Quran is a cure. It's a shifa lima fi sudur. It is a cure. Allah described it as that. Shifa'un lima fi sudur. Allah described it as, it is a cure for that which is in the chest. So that's another thing, that the person constantly reads the Quran, makes it a part of his everyday life. Another thing which would help the individual, inshallah ta'ala, is that the individual needs to reflect over that which Allah has prepared for him in Jannah. Reflect over that which Allah has prepared for him in Jannah. لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. Jannah has that which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has anyone ever imagined. So yes, this thing in this life might be pleasing, it might be attractive, it might be this, it might be that, but that which Allah has prepared for the believers is much greater. Am I going to compromise that which Allah has prepared for me in the next life just for this moment of happiness? The smart individual says no. As Allah Ta'ala says, "Wal akhiratu khayrun wa abqa." بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. You prefer this life. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. But the next life is better and everlasting. So the way the believer, he can say, you know, I can have this right now. I can have this. I can have my joy right now. But I'm going to incur the anger of my Lord, and I might forbid myself of that which Allah Ta'ala has prepared for me in the next life. So this is just some advice that I had for the person that asked that question, and for all of us. And there's probably much more that can be said, but now I will pass the microphone to Brother Waleed. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to benefit from that which was said. Allah knows best. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.